All right, our next speaker is Jennifer Holmbull. She is actually a member here of Central. Love her dearly, and my neighbor. So I will read her bio. Jennifer Holmbull was born in Santa Clara County and has lived here most of her life. Though exposed to, she was not raised in the things of God. Due to God's abundant grace, he led her to the Bible, and she began studying with her friend Angela, who is also a member here. Before too long, Jennifer realized that she desperately needed God more than she needed oxygen to breathe. Jennifer was baptized for the remission of her sins as an adult almost 15 years ago. When Jennifer visited Central Church of Christ in San Jose for the first time, she felt as though she had come home and has been attending there ever since. Jennifer has been blessed with a wonderful church family and numerous adventures on her world travels. She hopes above all else to glorify the Lord with the precious time that God has gifted her with. So with that, I will bring Jennifer up, who will tell us about praying together for healing.
Hi, thank you. Good, I think you can hear me. And thank you so much for that introduction, which is funny because everything you said, I was like, yep, that's right. I wasn't raised in the church, I wasn't. So I really appreciated that. Thank you so much. So what a privilege it is to be here to speak to you on this subject, actually, as my topic is praying together for healing. Let's just start with a quick word of prayer, please. Our most gracious and glorious Father, praise your holy name forever. Thank you for this beautiful day you have given us. May your precious words flow from me to these sisters, your beloved. May their hearts be open to receive your words. And if there is anything in me that does not come from you, may it not land on these people. For you are everything, Lord. The Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, our Creator and righteous Father. I want no part in misrepresenting you. Please lead us today and always. It's in your Son's most holy name, Jesus Christ, our Savior, I pray these things. Amen. Okay, well, the last 3 years have been very distinctive, don't you think? So I remember the gut-lurching announcement that we were required to shelter in place for 2 weeks. It was 2 weeks in March of 2020, and I was about to start a new job. And besides that, I led a busy life up to that point. I was very involved with church functions, and I was fairly active with friends. And just like that, nothing. And it feels so long ago, and yet it feels like it was just yesterday. So, very strange. I don't recall a time that I ever felt more anxious than that, alone and afraid. While in isolation, I watched as society around me seemed to crumble. There was a terrible racial dissension and sharp political divide, fueling widespread division. The whole world seemed to envelop itself into some sort of insanity. And I've struggled the last few years. And some have rejoiced in the recognition that their faith has been made stronger during this season. Truly, I rejoice with them. I just don't know that I could say the same, right? There have been times that I believed I was only holding on by my fingernails. So, and praise him, I endured. And I still endure. So, largely because God has revealed some immensely beautiful moments. So, thank you for allowing me to expound on some of the wonder, beauty, and hope that the Lord has shown me during this difficult season as we begin to come up for air out of the darkness and into the light. The presentation up there was so aptly named by the ladies on the lectureship committee, Praying Together for Healing. Of course, what helped me and what our world needs so desperately at this point is prayer. Prayer allows us to directly keep in touch with our Heavenly Father. I realize that I've been in some very in-depth conversations with my friends and families throughout the years, and some of them have lasted hours, you know, just hours conversations and on the phone or golly in person. And there haven't been so many of those kind of conversations that I've had with our Lord. This is unfortunate, and you realize that that's what he really wants from us. It's what he's seeking, that kind of intimacy with us. And it's convicting enough for me to try and want to achieve that kind of intimacy with Him. So, you know, fortunately, we've got the Lord's Prayer. It's found in Matthew 6, 9 through 13, and it provides us with a good example for how to pray. The Bible reads, "Pray then in this way, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Jesus offers it up to us as a model. I love how it starts off, by giving praise and adoration to God. It is important to remember who He is. It says, "Hallowed be your name." We revere and honor His name. We bow in the presence of the Lord. He created the whole universe. The winds and the waves obey Him. He raises the dead. He has immense power, grace, wisdom, and love to draw us to Him. Remind yourself of all the attributes of God that I haven't even mentioned yet. Let these truths sink in deeply into your heart. How perfect He is. How worthy of our adoration. How loving and brilliant He is in making a way for us to be together. When we recognize this, He allows us to come to His throne with reverence, with the reverence that He deserves. Another reminder, God knows you inside and out. So come to Him authentically, not trying to be something other than the beautiful individual that He created you into being. Come to Him with all your heart. In 1 Samuel 1:15, Hannah describes pouring out her soul to the Lord. Not more elegant in speech or really anything other than your true self. It's not about a performance or somehow elevating yourself before the Lord or others. It is a time of humility and intimacy with the God of all creation. Matthew 6:12 reminds us to ask for the Lord's forgiveness of our own transgressions as we also forgive others, right? In 1 John 1:9, it reads that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In prayer, we can lay our sins down at His feet, and because of who He is, He will forgive us our sins and will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank Him and Jesus for His beautiful and precious blood that cleanses us from all this. Thank Him for everything He has done in our lives, both joys and sorrows. Thank Him for the ability to rise this morning, to breathe and fellowship with these beloved sisters. Thank Him that we have love for and are loved by many. Thank Him that our names have been written in the book of life. Thank Him. In Philippians 4, 6, and 7, it is known as a reminder not to worry, which, you know, I need to take to heart. It says to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. No, He is not our own personal divine butler. After you remember who He is and who we are, He invites us to lay our request at His feet. We pray for Him, His will above all, and we have the opportunity for real intimacy to lay our worries, cares, and concerns and deep desires before Him. As I've matured in the faith, I've come to understand that some of the trials that we face, however heavy, difficult, unpleasant, and painful, have very real value and purpose in our lives. These difficulties do not have to destroy us. Instead, they can help strengthen us, to help us grow, and to find a way to overcome these obstacles through Christ. It is an opportunity to grow closer to the living God. When we experience pain, we have the opportunity to remember that God will use pain to ultimately serve a purpose, just as it says in Romans 8:28. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. And yes, pain and suffering falls into the category of all things. Think back in the stories of the Bible. So many who are used by God have overcome significant obstacles to varying degrees. Joseph was used mightily after being sold into slavery by his own brothers. Job endured tremendous pain, and yet his testimony lives on to help us better understand God's character, wisdom, and might. Paul endured a thorn in the flesh and yet wrote so much of the New Testament, providing clarification and to encourage the saints today. They all had to face some very painful things, and yet the Lord was with them, and they each turned to the Lord. Perhaps God has allowed pain in your life so that he can teach you and mold you into something perfect that he can use for just the right occasion. A person that has a very real and powerful testimony that could help others in ways we couldn't even possibly imagine. Could pain and suffering be creating in you a clean heart that is more God-focused? To be more humble and caring toward others? To be more grateful and content with what you have? Let us trust in the Lord that no tear is wasted. This is what I would like to encourage you to do today. Turn any of the pain you have endured over the last few years, and perhaps are still under, and give it to God in prayer. Don't allow it to fester, make you grow bitter, and lose hope. In prayer, bring it to the Lord. In Matthew 11:28-30, Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." He invites us to turn our pain over to the Lord in prayer. One important point of the Lord's example for prayer involves his will being done above all. In Matthew 8:1-3, it reads, "When Jesus came down from the mountain, large crowds followed him, and a leper came to him and bowed down before him and said, 'Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean.' Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, 'I am willing, be cleansed.' And he was clean, cleansed. The leper came to Jesus, and his request was, 'Lord, if you will it.' The leper acknowledges that Jesus could make him well. He believed in Jesus' ability to heal. However, he was humble when he submitted his request to Jesus. 'If it pleases you, Jesus, then please make me well.' The leper did not demand or expect anything, but he had hoped. The leper's will was obviously to be healed, right? But he placed the Lord's will first. In prayer, be sure to have an attitude that genuinely places God's will in front of your own. Should you need healing, submit to the Lord's will. If you receive healing, praise him. And if you don't, then don't lose heart. We have to trust that there is purpose in our struggles that we don't necessarily see from our vantage point. Whatever the Lord wills, trust him. May his will be done. May his will take priority over our own. One thing I've noticed and succumbed to from time to time in the last few years, being made aware of it has been very helpful to me. So I pass this on to you. When things seemed to be the most desperate, I became aware that my eyes were not fixed on the Lord. They were just not there. I was looking at the world and my surroundings, watching things crumble. I was worried about the future and what it meant for my family. I would look inwardly for my own limitations, my own sins. Occasionally, I lost focus on our God, in difficult times. And I found that if my eyes were focused anywhere other than Jesus Christ, then everything would become negative and bleak. Focusing inwardly and relying on my own power was fruitless too, because quite frankly, there's only so far mental gymnastics can take you. So when you lose your focus, the devil will pounce and tell you all sorts of lies, such as God couldn't possibly use someone with your background, couldn't possibly. Or the very fact that you're struggling is proof that you're not saved at all. But this is why you should have your focus on Jesus. Because of what he did on the cross, and when we put on Jesus in baptism, God doesn't see your ugly history in the same light. In fact, he will use it to glorify him. Just look at how far he has brought a sinner and an absolute wretch like me. Just praise him. Keep your eyes fixed on him. If you begin to look at what's around you instead of things of God, then you will become distracted by things that just don't matter. By things that are in this world instead of those things that are eternal. When you focus on anything else other than Jesus Christ, you'll be left in a state of fret and disappointment because worldly things are so uncertain. But God is our one certainty, so do not lose focus on him. Just as Hebrews 12, 1 through 3 says, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Keep your eyes fixed firmly above." Ladies, prayer is an opportunity to communicate with the Lord. Psalm 34, 17 through 19 reads, "The righteous cry, and the Lord hears, and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all." Furthermore, 2 Chronicles 7, 14 reminds us, "There is forgiveness and healing available when we pray." It reads, "And my people who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sins, and will heal their land." Oh dear, I lost my place. Yeah, I think that's great. Fortunately, even if we don't get it right, by the way, there is Romans 8:26-27, which reads, "In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses, for we don't know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groaning too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." Let us spend the last few minutes praying together for healing. Let's pray. Our most gracious and righteous Heavenly Father, praise your glorious name forever. Your wisdom is unparalleled. Who but you could have pardoned all our iniquities? Who but you could have healed all our diseases? Who but you could have redeemed our lives from the pit? We praise you, Father. Our languages do not give us the words to praise you well enough. Our works fall short, and yet we continue praising you still. Thank you for this beautiful day you have gifted us with. Thank you for the opportunity to worship you together. We come before you today seeking healing, Lord. These last few years have been difficult on many of us, Father, and we deeply want our faith established securely in you. There are people in this room right now that need healing in their bodies, healing in their hearts, and healing in their minds. We pray that your healing power could flow in all our lives. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that on the cross you bore our sins, so that we might have the gift of eternal life. On the cross, you offered yourself as a sacrifice so that we might die to sin. Lord, we trust you. You alone are our hope and faith. Father God, though we seek healing from you, we believe that your love for us is so great that there are times you may allow challenges to bring us to our knees and seek your face with everything we've got. If that be so, Lord, may our testimony reach far and wide with how great you are and how you delivered us, even if it was not in the way we envisioned it. Thank you for hearing our praises and our cries. Thank you for being the God who has no limits in your abilities or capabilities. If you will it, you are able to deliver us from every kind of affliction. And we are truly grateful for the love you show us in hearing our words. Father God, I pray that you would heal our hearts and any wounds that we carry. Please fix everything broken within us. Please restore peace to each of us. May your living waters flow over our souls and bring restoration and rejuvenation. We give you all of our hurts and sorrows. Dear Lord, we give to you everything that burdens us. We pray that the Holy Spirit would help us keep our eyes fixed on you, Jesus. Let us not be distracted by this world, but let me remain focused on the Lord. Help us, Father, to be disciplined and not to sin. Take the lead, my Lord, and have your way in our lives. We pray for the strength to continue fighting against taking matters into our own hands. May we submit to you. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would minister to our souls and remind us to keep our eyes on the things above and not on the things that are on the earth. Father, please give us the attitude that where we are focused on Jesus in the good times and in our struggles. We pray that whether the economy is doing good or not, if there are political divides, if we are sick and afflicted, or our friends have abandoned us, that our eyes remain firmly fixed on Jesus. Teach us, O Lord, how to continuously examine ourselves and to be cognizant of where our focus lies. Father, we cast our feelings aside. We cast our own will aside. And we humbly submit to you. May your will be done in our lives. May your will reign supreme in our lives. Regardless of how desperate our circumstances may be, you always come through for us. You are always perfectly on time, and you never fail. You're a God who heals the brokenhearted and bandages up all our wounds. You refresh those who are exhausted. You give power and strength to those who wait on you. You straighten up those who are bent low, and through you, mighty miracles still happen. Heavenly Father, you are the strength of my heart, and I know that everything else in this world could fail me, but you, Lord God, you will never let me down. We thank you for your goodness. Thank you for redeeming us from our sins. You have saved and delivered us. If it were not for your wonderful sacrifice, then where would we be right now? Oh God, if you have never shed your precious blood, then who could have saved us? There is none like you, Jesus. You extend your loving arm to us and called us to repentance. Because of this, we rejoice, and I say, all praise and honor be to the Most High, because we are saved, we are sanctified, and we are redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. We praise you, Lord, for you are holy and worthy of our adoration. Father, help us love you even more with every fiber of our being. Thank you for listening to our prayers. It's in Jesus' most holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you.